Hi there, and welcome to the Homestead Education Podcast. Do you have a homestead, farm, or just dream of a rural life? This is a show to help you and your kids grow your own food and grow as a person. I'm your host, Cody Hanner. I'm a homesteader, homeschool mama six, and small town enthusiast. I was raised by an old school rancher and blessed by the grace of God to have been exposed to so much of what rural life has to offer. Join me every week to talk about homesteading, homeschooling, and growth with a homestead education. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the Homestead Education Podcast. Today, I have Laura Millett from the Girly Homesteader Podcast, and I am beyond excited to have her on today because I got to be on her podcast last week, and it was amazing. So make sure you head over there and check that out. So hi, Laura.
Hi, I'm very happy to be here. Thank you.
Awesome. So why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself? I know you said from the Girly Homesteader Podcast, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about you.
Sure. Yeah. My name is Laura, and I live in Xenia, Ohio with my husband. We have about 7 acres, and honestly,
so beautiful there.
It is very pretty. I know Ohio is very underrated.
It is.
Like, yeah. I love it, but most people are just like, oh, okay. But I think it's very pretty. It is a little flat, but... But it's where
I travel there
up.
A lot for work, and I'm always like, it's okay. So pretty.
Yeah. So I'm originally from Columbus, actually. So I'm originally from like the big city. Mm-hmm. And I never ever thought that I would be living where I am now. That is for sure.
I hear that a lot.
Oh, yeah. Like when I was in high school, I wanted to live in New York. I wanted a French bulldog. I wanted an apartment. I didn't want any garden, any landscaping, anything.
French bulldogs don't do great on homesteads.
No, I don't think they would. They're so cute though. Like I still think they're adorable. But yeah, I wanted, you know, like the big city life. I wanted the, you know, big fancy job, whatever. And that's what I was setting myself up for. And then I decided to go to the University of Cincinnati. So mm-hmm. Another big city in Ohio.
Yeah.
And I was doing that. I didn't like my major. I studied design actually in undergrad.
Okay.
And I didn't like it. I didn't like working for people. Cause in my
undergrad, I think that goes across the board with like all homesteaders. Like it's just a thing.
Yeah. It's just a thing. So in my undergrad program, I was able to do like co-ops or internships. And so I had a 5-year program, but yeah, because of that, I discovered I like doing my own thing. And then my last year of school, I think it was, that's when I met my husband and everything changed.
Just downhill from, no, wait, what?
he just completely changed everything. So he is from Dayton, Ohio. So like another bigger city in Ohio,
yeah,
smaller than where I had grown up. And we ended up moving there, and we started out in the city, quote unquote, in a little house. You know, you could like see your neighbors through the windows. Mm-hmm. Like actually the week that we were moving into our house, this is how close we were to the neighbors. We were looking out the window and there were bubbles just like floating by the window. And so we go outside and sure enough, our neighbors were very strange. They had a bubble machine just like going in the driveway. I mean, they were very interesting, very nice, but it was just like, we were just right on top of each other.
Yeah.
So, still at that point, I never really thought that I would be living how I do now. But my homestead journey, I think it honestly started from signing up for my first CSA.
Mm-hmm.
And that completely changed my view on food. Because I've always enjoyed cooking. And I'm also a personal trainer now. And so at that time, that's when I started becoming certified to be a personal trainer. And so like health and nutrition, that was always interesting to me.
Yeah.
But I never really understood the food part of it and like where your food comes from and how mm-hmm. important that is too, until that time when I started that first CSA. So that was still like when we were living, in the city. And I tried to get as much of my food as I could from local farmers in Ohio. And so I was pretty good at that. But then we were just, my husband is very outdoorsy, very, very outdoorsy. And I was when I was little, I guess. But actually, another thing that I remember very vividly, this is when I was like little. I don't know. I was probably like six or something. I remember telling my mom, I am never going to be one of those girls who like does her hair and does her makeup because I did like playing outside in the dirt. Like I would make fairy houses outside. I would make like, mud pies and stuff, all the typical things. So then, going from that to now referring to myself as the girly homesteader is just very funny.
I can get it though. I went through my phases and I watch my daughter now. Like when she was little, she refused to wear pants. Like it was only dresses.
Oh, okay.
And yeah. And now, like, the thought of her in a dress, like she wears them once in a while, but she's like, a dress. It's horrible. And she's 15, so
Yeah, like, do I have to?
yeah, like she's all about like her jeans and boots and her Carhartt jacket, or I think her burn jacket that she wears right now all the time. And yeah, she's very country.
Yeah, and I mean, like, I almost feel like now I have like two sides of me, I guess, because like as a personal trainer too, I mean, I don't have to wear like normal clothes. I get to wear workout clothes all the time.
Love
And
it.
so, yeah, so it's like I either am that way or if we
Wait,
do
leggings aren't barn pants?
the good thing about leggings is they do fit under overalls very well.
They do, yes.
It's very hard to put jeans on underneath overalls. Very hard.
This is true. Okay,
So yeah,
I might have to like
almost.
spill my husband's secret.
What?
It was like it was in the negatives. It snowed 4 feet overnight, and this is when we were still in Oregon, and we had a neighbor like that had like they were elderly and he was out of town and she was home alone. And my husband's like, I have to go plow her out. Like there's just no other choice. But I mean, it was like people were dying weather. And he was like, I mean, like I can't get my overalls on over my jeans, but like, and he's having this whole thing. And I was like, I have some like lined leggings. And he was like, you know what? Let's do it. And like, he wore them and like we were laughing at him so hard, but like he came home and I was like, so he's like, these were awesome. So,
They are practical.
yeah.
And your like muck boots, leggings slide right in there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like my husband's like, when I met you, you always wore bootcut jeans. I was like, 'cause when you met me, I was a cowgirl. Now I'm a farmer and I need my skinny jeans to fit inside my mucks.
Oh, yes.
Because it really is a thing. Like you say, you kind of had that other life, even though I feel like my life, it's changed a lot, but I feel like my direction hasn't really. Like I've always been about agriculture and stuff, but I grew up with a dad as a rodeo cowboy and I majored in ag in California. Like we were all buckle bunnies. Like you wore like the blingy jeans and the belt buckles and your high-heeled boots and your aviator glasses, and it was a look, and then like as a homesteader now, I was telling you before the call, like I walked into a conference where I was speaking and this gal was like, oh my gosh, you dress like a real person. And then I was like, what is a real person to you? And she's like, well, you aren't in a dress and a hat or overalls. And I was like, no, I'm in jeans and cowboy boots because that is still how I dress up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, the whole prairie dress thing, I wish that would just go away. Because I mean, I don't think I'm like your
Absolutely.
daughter. I don't think dresses are all that comfortable. It's also hard for me to find dresses because my torso is like really long. So, like, dresses are just hard because, like, the butt, anyways, like, the butt is like in the middle of my back. Anyways, yeah, I get it.
I have one time worn a dress to my, well, it wasn't even a dress. I wore a skirt to my garden. And it was because yeah, I know. It was. It was a It was made out of like sweatpants material. And I was trying out these new like bicycle short style leggings to wear under a dress that I had to wear for an event I was going to. And I was like, well, if I have to wear these all day long, let me really try these suckers out. And so I put on this like sweatpants material skirt and a tank top and went out and worked in the garden all day.
And
So
how was it?
they were great. Like I loved them so much. I bought another pair and bought my daughter a pair too. So yeah. So
The
I guess
tartan
shout
getting
out to
away.
Hilara, I guess is what they're called. Hilara, like, or
I
maybe is that
wanted to try them.
no. I lied. I do like the Hilara shorts and I have those. Thigh Society. Yeah, they're very comfortable. Like super stretchy and stuff.
But that's the shorts, not the skirt.
Shorts. No, the skirt was like from Maurice's or something. I don't know.
So, but didn't the skirt get in the way?
It was only knee length.
It still didn't get in the
No, it was actually kind of nice because I could like I have this little like scooter thing for my garden. That it's a John Deere tractor seat kind of thing on like big wheels and stuff. And I could actually like for lack of better explanation, like spread my legs further, like when I sitting to like reach and like weed the garden, there was no constriction. It was wonderful.
Well,
It was like gardening in my bathing suit, I guess.
I gotcha.
Yeah,
Okay.
like
Yeah.
everybody has this like wonderful visual now of me like gardening in my bathing suit.
I will say though, I bought my first pair of overalls last spring, and they are very nice. 'Cause like I don't know. I didn't I don't think that I kind of like fit into the typical like mold or stereotypes of a homesteader at all. And so when I bought my first pair of overalls, which is still my only pair of overalls, I was like, what am I like, am I turning into this person? But no, I definitely am not. They are just practical. They are.
Right. Well, like I found that I really love my mucks, especially living in North Idaho where it's like they're Arctic mucks and it snows, 4 or 5 months out of the year here. And then we have 2 good solid months of mud season. And so like I love my mucks and I wanted to wear them like everywhere because who wants to wear your nice boots in snow or mud? And then I'm like at the grocery store the other day, about a year after we moved to North Idaho, and I'm like, I'm gonna count how many women are here in their mucks. And like over half the women I saw in the store were wearing mucks. And they weren't like just in their overalls and stuff. They were like in nice jeans and hoodies and sometimes
Normal
blouses.
clothes.
And yeah, I was like, I'm doing it. I'm rocking it. I don't care.
Yeah, my boots, the boots that I like are sloggers. I have like the typical ones, like the yellow ones with the chickens that you see on Instagram and
Oh,
everything.
cute. Yeah.
I have those. I'm on my second pair. But yeah, they're just completely practical. That's all.
I have a pair of rubber boots with chickens on them that I love. But those are more.
Do you have a way to keep them warm, or would you recommend that I just get like the warm muck boots? Because the
I would
sloggers
just get
are cold.
the yeah, I would just get the warm muck boots because I've tried like rubber boots. I've tried them with like the thick wool socks and stuff, and I went to go ultrasound goats at a friend's house in a snowstorm, and I literally thought I was gonna like lose a toe. Like it was horrible. Like my feet hurt so bad, I was like crying in pain when I got home. So I was like, yeah, I'm never doing that again. Like I invested in a pair of mucks, like right then and there. And yeah.
I should
And I
probably.
mean, you probably don't have giant feet like I do. So you can actually get like the really cute, they have really cute like pink ones and ones with designs. And I think Bogs is similar. Bogs, and there's another brand too that are all great. Hisia.
Yes, I've heard of those.
Those are all great brands that are going to keep your feet warm and they have really cute designs on them. And for the girls with giant feet like me, I know that Muck Boots also has the like the ones I get are the wide calf that you can like unhook and like make the calves bigger, which is so nice and comfy. Like, because a lot of those muck boots have like a constriction on top to hold them up over your calf. But when you're almost 6 feet tall, whether you have wide calves or not, which I actually don't have that wide of calves for, but because my shin and like that part of my leg is so long, that constriction that they have to hold them over your calf actually lands right in the middle of my calf and hurts
Interesting. Okay.
really bad.
Okay.
So those wide calf ones are really nice because they are adjustable.
Okay. Gosh, I didn't know you were that tall. Wow.
He's
How tall is your husband?
like the same height as me. He's actually a
Okay.
half an inch shorter than me, but I much prefer to be in my flip-flops everywhere I go, and he much prefers to be in his fire boots. So
Yeah. Oh. Well, yeah, I don't know. I guess continuing in my story,
Oh yeah.
I think, where was
You know,
I?
I
I
don't think
was
there's enough
talking about.
podcast episodes out there talking about what we wear on the homestead. So I think we're
I
solid,
know.
you
No,
know?
I mean, this is very, it is very good content. Well, and also maybe now you'll get an ad for mug boots and maybe now they'll
Hey,
sponsor
maybe, yeah.
me. That'd be awesome.
I do do videos for Burn, so
There we go.
the Burn apparel. So my boys wear
Okay.
it. I have a really great vest that I love. So, you know, there's
Okay.
my plug for Burn.
Well, yeah, I guess continuing with my story, my husband, like I said, he's very into the outdoors, and I am too. But not so much that I really like sweating outside, and I hate bugs. But I mean, I don't think
I think
anybody
that's
likes bugs.
universal,
I
yeah.
think that's universal. So, we were feeling
Especially
kind
skeeters.
of, especially what?
Skeeters.
Oh yeah, no. And I don't know about you, but here in Ohio, we have not gotten really cold enough, and I'm really worried that the mosquitoes are going to be especially bad.
We only had 1 week of hard freeze, so.
Yeah, right?
Which,
Yeah.
like, does your husband hunt?
Yes, I do
Okay,
too.
so, oh, okay. So we're big hunters too, and I have the Onyx maps. Do you use that?
We use Hunt Stand, but yes, it's
Okay.
very similar. Yeah.
So on Onyx, I actually have waypoints of places where I've ran into like skeeter bogs. So that we don't go, because it'll show like water there, you know? And like,
Yeah.
especially in Oregon, like you had to hunt the water holes because it was a high desert. And so it would be like, ooh, water hole. And sometimes we'd forget and like head back to that same place. And then like, after a couple of rounds of like bad skeeter holes, I started marking them.
Oh man. Guess what I did with my rain barrels last summer? Oh
You
my
didn't.
gosh. I didn't really know that you were like supposed to sanitize them and clean them all that much. Oh my God. So we have three like on our barn. The middle one, I think when I was cleaning it out, oh my gosh, I opened up the lid and it was like a cloud of mosquitoes. It was disgusting. I learned my lesson. But yes, you are technically supposed to bleach your rain barrels. PSA for everybody. You're supposed to. Ugh.
You know, I think we've all had like our moments because, like, when we moved on to our farm, no one had farmed it in 5 years. It had been a commercial farm, but no one had
Okay.
farmed it for 5 years. So we're so excited. Like, we start tromping through like the corrals and it's like, you know, chest deep weeds, but we're like, this is great. Our goats will love it. Like, you know, whatever. And we're like, yay, there's already water tanks out here. And we start flipping water tanks and they're full of yellow jackets. It's like, I have a newborn. I'm highly allergic to yellow jackets. And me and like all my kids are running, like high stepping in through this like chest deep
Oh
weeds. My
gosh.
husband's like rolling laughing when we come out because he's like, I wish I had that on video. That would be perfect. Like, we bought a farm, like reality show.
Oh gosh.
So,
Oh,
yeah.
yellow jackets are jerks, man.
They really are. I have a hole in my leg from last summer where one like just flew up, took a chunk and left. Like it was horrible.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And then I had to like do epinephrine and take steroids and Benadryl for a week.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, they're
So are
rude.
you allergic to honeybees too?
No.
No? Okay.
I mean, I'll get like a, you know, a nice knot and it itches for a few days, but
Yeah.
nothing. Not like the yellow jackets where I get like the full anaphylaxis and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. Have you ever, okay, so back to mosquitoes. Have you seen those things? They're called, what are they called? Like the bug? I'll think of the name, but it's like a suction cup that you like stick on the bug bite, Now, you're only supposed to do it with like mosquitoes. The
Okay.
bug thingy, I think that's what it's called.
Okay.
You stick it on your bug bite and you like suction it. And it really does help with the itching and then also just like the bug bite swelling. Well,
Okay.
we have honeybees, and a couple summers, it was like this summer of like COVID, I had a hat on and one flew up and stung me like right here. And I was like, oh, well, let me use this bug bite thing. Put it on my head. And I sucked it, you know, like what you're supposed to do. And I had this big welt on my head. But also, I think it made it worse because then I don't know what happened, but my whole eye ended up swelling up from this bee sting. It was terrible. I mean, thank goodness it was during COVID because like I didn't have to see anybody. Oh my
I
God.
had that. I had a yellow jacket fly in the window of my car and get stuck between my sunglasses and my eyebrow. And it was like stinging me repeatedly. And I was in the passenger seat and I'm like trying to jump out of the car while my boyfriend was driving.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, my whole face like swelled up. It was horrible, but he's
Yeah.
like, hold on, I'll
That's
over.
really unfortunate timing.
Right. I mean,
Man.
we were on this like windy like mountain road, and we were going uphill at the time, so he was only going like 20 miles an hour around this turn, and I was fully committed to bailing out of that vehicle.
Oh gosh. Oh no.
But yeah, we actually so my boys get really big welts with the yellow
Okay.
jackets. So I make a it's like an essential oil itch rollerball stick thingy. And I just make like 10 of them. There's one in like every vehicle, every purse, every pocket, everywhere we go. And the boys can like just douse themselves in essential oil every time they get a skeeter bite. So we live really close to like a slow moving river, so it's constant.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mosquitoes and yellow jackets. I don't know why they exist, to be honest with you.
Right. I don't see a use for them, but
No.
you
Mm-mm.
know.
Oh,
I've
God.
seen those like where they describe all the different bees, you know, and they're like, this one makes honey, this one's a pollinator, this one's an a-hole.
Yep, this one's an a-hole. Yeah, because they
Yeah.
sting you repeatedly, like you said. They just don't stop.
Yeah, there was a nest in my raspberry patch this year. And I had like friends over to like help me pick raspberries, and we're like, all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I'm getting poked by like a raspberry thorn, and like I go to brush it off and it like happens again, and I look down and I'm getting like stung repeatedly by yellow jackets, and
Yeah.
not stung, bit, I guess. So yeah, so once you guys got onto your property, like how did it kind of.
Yeah, we were feeling cramped in our old house, and so we were looking for more space to like get out into, you know, the country, quote unquote. And so we were looking for a while because, I mean, as everybody knows, it's hard to find land and property. So anyways, our house came up for sale. It had 7 acres and it needed a lot of repairs, but we decided to do it. And so here we are. So we've been here for probably 5 years now, I would say.
Nice. Yeah.
We are like, it sounds like we have a lot of space because we have 7 acres, but really six-ish of them are all woods and it's beautiful, but it's not necessarily like usable.
We kind of have the same thing. We're on just shy of 40, and a lot of it's woods, and there's like a rock face here because this used to be the edge of the river, but it's when they dammed it, the river like doesn't come past here anymore. But which is kind of cool because we found like arrowheads and like parts of an old
Yeah.
wagon and stuff here, like an old like covered wagon style thing. But yeah, we can't use all of it as much as we would like.
Right. Yeah, because I mean, the woods, they're beautiful. And like, we've tapped maple trees. This is the third year we've done it. So,
Oh,
like, we've
fun.
done that, which is cool. But, you know, in terms of like open space, we have enough space for our chickens. I wish my garden was bigger, but that's okay. Yeah, I mean, I like where we are now. We do, of course, have dreams, just like everybody else does, to have even more space. But like, our first homesteady thing was we got bees. We inherited those, I like to say, from my husband's uncle. So we have bees, and then I tried to start gardening and growing all of my own food. So that ties like back into the CSAs. I thought, you know what? I can do this myself. Well, it's a lot harder than you
It really is.
think it is to grow all your own food. Oh my gosh.
Like, we are not islands. Like, we can't do it all ourselves.
Yeah, no, not at all. And I, goodness gracious. Now, my favorite things to eat really like are, well, I could eat a salad every day of my life. I love salad. And I was like, you know, if I can at least grow salad greens like most of the year, I will be happy.
Nice.
Well, this is now starting my third year of trying to garden and grow all of our own stuff. Only last year was I like successful kind of in doing that. And greens should be pretty darn easy, you would think. But I don't know. They
I can
weren't.
grow them. I just like, I don't know, like, I'm afraid of like using them all too fast, like being
Yes.
greedy or something, and then they like all get huge and bolt and taste weird. And
Oh yeah. Yeah, there is definitely an art to like finding out exactly when you should start things, how much you should plant, because that was my issue too, like that first year. So my garden, I have two raised beds in it. They're 4 by 12. So one of them that first year, I was like, okay, I'm gonna plant half of it all at once with greens. And at the very, very early beginning of spring, that was great. But then I was never like, I was afraid to like chop stuff down and start over.
Well, and it
And
grows back
so,
if you don't take it all.
right. And so, like, I felt bad about like killing the plant. And I still have that problem. Like, if something is growing, I still have a hard time of just like getting rid of it.
Like, there's six of us in the house right now, and I have six rows of greens. Now, we probably only do salads a couple nights a week, but in this spring, summer, that time frame, my six just 2 foot rows, 2 3 foot rows is almost all the greens we need. If I'm just kind of picking at them, you know?
Yeah, I mean there is an art. So like last year I was like, okay, well I'm going to plant, you know, smaller rows more often and try that, and that definitely did work, but then I was still stuck with, yeah, you know, it bolts and then you're
When
like,
they
I would like force myself to eat it even though it didn't really taste the
when they'd
best.
start to get funky, I'd pull them and feed them to the chickens and plant a new row, because in a week I'd have more.
Exactly, which is what I am still trying to get better at doing.
Know what though? Like, the other day I was so excited. Like, raspberries were on sale at the grocery store, and like it was like one of the big like double things for, I don't know, like 450.
Oh,
And
wow.
so I was like, yes, we are buying, I'm buying raspberries. Like, I'm craving summer. I need some raspberries. Like, the first thing my husband said is, but you have to actually eat them. It is okay to eat them, because I'll get them and I'm like hoarding my raspberries because I'm afraid I won't have raspberries anymore. And I even do that. Like, we have, I don't know, a 200 foot raspberry patch on our property. And I do the same thing with raspberries. Like, I don't want to eat them. Like, so like I could see
Oh
that
yeah.
being like the same problem with salad greens, where it's something that you're like, I covet this, so I
Right.
don't want to, if I use it all now, I won't have it tomorrow.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, and I mean we don't eat salad every day, but like it when we do, it's like a lot.
I can
My
eat
husband.
tomatoes every day, so
Oh yeah, we could eat
they
tomatoes
have to be
every day too.
far like garden tomatoes,
Right.
and I have not totally mastered those yet, so.
No, tomatoes are hard. And like this last year, we were battling major soil issues because I was an idiot. And I was like, oh, I'm going to try and improve my soil fertility, or like my, you know, the organic matter that's in my soil. And I'm going to mix these wood chips in because, of course, we live with all these trees. We have lots of trees taken down all the time. So, like, I have, you know, piles of wood chips and they're great only if they've decomposed some. So I was putting like these fresh wood chips into my soil, which is terrible because I had like no nitrogen availability in my soil. My pH was like really, really high. It was terrible. And so I got like, honestly, my first year of growing stuff was probably better than my second year. And I think my second year, I was just like trying too hard. I don't know.
I've been there. Like, I mean, I grew up in California, where like you could literally like
Grow anything.
throw seeds in your yard and ignore it and have a beautiful vegetable garden in the fall, as long as it had a little bit of water.
Yeah.
But that was like when I really started trying to garden. I lived in the Central Valley of California, which is like I say that when they came up with the phrase when hell freezes over, they were talking about Red Bluff in the wintertime because it gets like 118 degrees there. Like it is horrible.
Oh my gosh.
So if you don't water your garden and have shade for it and that type of stuff, like stuff's gonna die.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't grow in California. Like I was a disaster. Like I'm like every California is like the agricultural capital of the world, and I can't grow a darn tomato. And so Oregon was a total waste. Everything was frozen there. We lived in the high desert of Oregon, so I mean it was like a
Okay.
frozen sandbox.
Yeah.
So then we move to North Idaho, and I can actually grow here. Like my garden is gorgeous. But my first full year gardening, I had so many tomatoes, like I didn't know what to do with it. And I haven't had a tomato since. And we're like on
Oh no.
year, this is year five.
Oh.
I've had other stuff. I've had tons and tons of other stuff.
Okay.
And I've had green tomatoes. Like I've learned to love pickled green cherry tomatoes. They are
They're
amazing.
good. Yes.
Yes. The pickled green, like Roma tomatoes, kind of taste like a green olive to me, which I don't like. So,
Okay.
for people who like green olives, like
I
that's
do.
a really good option, you know? So if you don't get red tomatoes, there's what you can do. But this year we're trying things a little different. I'm starting my tomatoes almost 2 weeks earlier inside.
Okay.
I'm going to plant considerably less. My husband's convinced that I plant too many and that they grow together, and that's the problem,
Okay.
which could be a possibility. A lot of times I plant them late, so I'm thinking like, well, I'll get extra in there, and you know, then I have a higher chance. So I'm going to try planting maybe, well, I might have a hard time actually planting less. But I'm going to plant less per square foot.
Yeah, okay.
And so start them early, less per square foot. And then also every year we travel to Homesteaders of America in
Yeah.
October and we road trip to it. And it's a 3 week trip. And so we end up missing like the tail end of our garden every year. And it's a total bummer. So this year we're actually flying out.
Oh,
So
okay.
we're only going to be gone for, we're still going to make it like a week long trip and like,
Yeah.
because we like to take the kids to do something different in DC every year and stuff, but we're not going to drive all the way out there because we've done this 3 years in a row now. And this year I'm going to a homeschool conference in Arizona. So we decided to drive all the kids to that one so that we can see like Grand Canyon and that type of stuff. So we're all going to fly to HOA though, like the kids. I
Okay.
actually like HO, I'm sure I'm allowed to talk about it, but Homesteaders of America hasn't announced it yet, but I will be a speaker there this year. Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you.
Oh my gosh.
So we're a couple weeks out from this airing, so it might be out by then. But if not, I've signed a contract that actually says I have to promote it. So
So there we go.
I'm promoting it. I'm really excited though, because this has been a big goal of mine. And
My gosh.
so I'm going to be speaking on homeschooling like a homesteader.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Very excited.
But see, that is brilliant though, like shortening the travel time because October, I mean, it really, I don't know about you, but I already feel like I'm somewhat behind. I know I'm not, but like as soon as March comes until October, pretty much, it's like there's no good time to leave your house.
There really isn't,
For
and
a week, there
that's
isn't.
my big travel time, like as a homeschool speaker. So yeah, like I mean, we have teenagers that they rotate who gets to travel and stuff. So that really helps. Or we'll get neighbors involved if it's one of our bigger trips. But yeah, this year it's also our hunting season starts October 10th here. So by the time we get home, basically Halloween, we're exhausted. The kids haven't had Halloween in 2 years. We like buy a bag of candy and watch a scary movie, you know. But like the little ones, they need to trick or treat, you know. My teenagers are now like, we want to go hang out with our friends and you're keeping us home, you know. But yeah, we'll actually be able to like hunt and get the tail end of our garden this year. So that'll be nice.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so when is your typical like best hunting week? Like when's your rut?
Our rut's actually usually the first couple weeks of November.
Okay, that's when ours is too.
Yeah. But we have a couple of options to hunt here
Okay.
that we are allowed to hunt the alfalfa fields around us right after the last harvest, which is like the first couple of weeks of, and that's just what we worked out with our neighbors because then they will rent out their property for hunters to come during the rut. So then they don't want like our kids out there hunting and stuff. So that's kind of, we miss that like really great window. And also our bear season ends like the first week of November. So like we miss that whole bear season overlap too, where we're out in the woods.
Oh my gosh. So do you hunt too, or just your husband?
I actually, I'm the bigger hunter of the family.
Oh, okay. Well, there we go.
I mean, we both grew up,
Breaking stereotypes.
right?
Good.
We both grew up hunting, but my dad was a hunting guide and my mom was a taxidermist.
Okay.
So that was kind of, you know, he's older than me and stuff. So maybe he's been hunting longer. Probably not. Because like my first hunting trip, I was like three. So,
Okay.
I mean, well, there's pictures of me in like the baby packs, like on
Yeah.
hunting. But
Yeah.
my first kill was actually when I was three. Probably not legal, but you know, whatever.
Whoa.
Yeah.
My first kill was 2 years ago, so I have contributed to our venison for 2 years.
Awesome.
And I mean, I'm just using a crossbow. I'm not like super cool like my husband, using like a compound bow or anything, but
Yeah, my husband's a bow hunter. I am not. I am definitely a rifle hunter.
yeah. Well, and like, because here in Ohio, you can't use high-powered rifles because it's so flat.
Oh, that makes sense.
So
Yeah.
you, right. So like there's only a few weekends of our deer season where you can use any sort of a gun. And I don't know, crossbows, they're pretty darn accurate if you've ever shot one. It's just like using a gun. So
Yeah, I grew up in the mountains and still live in the mountains, so yeah.
Like hunting, that's something that I never ever thought that I would do, because honestly, I grew up like really raised to be afraid of guns and all of that. And I was raised, honestly, to really think it's kind of redneck. And so I mean, I'll be honest, like my view of it has had to change completely. Like
Right.
I remember the first time that like I was at my in-laws' house for one of the first times. We went into their basement where their gun safe is, and I like truly felt like I was having a panic attack just because
Oh,
like that was the
wow.
closest. Oh yeah, because that was like the closest that I had ever been to guns. And so like going from that to now having our own gun safe and me being able to shoot them and killing a deer, it's just like so strange
You
how
know what though?
things
So like I
changed.
grew up in an area of California that I joke, like it's the only place in the world where the hippies hunt and the rednecks smoke pot. Because it's like the Emerald Triangle of like the pot growing, like Mendocino County, I don't know, but and so like a lot of the things I do now, like you know, using essential oils and only cooking from scratch and like that type of stuff, I'm like, I feel like a major hippie. Like, and then like I've learned there was actually like hippies were a big thing in California, but everywhere else they called them like back to the landers. And I'm like, I kind of like that better. I'm a back to the lander. We're modern day
Right,
hippies,
modern day hippies.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess. So now I'm wondering, like, can we call homesteaders redneck hippies? Because
Hey, there we go.
I would totally be
Whatever.
okay with that.
Right.
Would totally be all
Like, I
right with
think that totally fits because, you know, I mean, I've talked to a lot of people who I'm like, homesteading is like, it's almost like a political movement.
It
You
is.
know,
And I
when you
hate
look
that.
at,
I do hate that fact of it. People can believe what you want to believe, and that's fine. But I do hate, that's another stereotype that I really hate, that people just think
Well,
that.
and, you know, I think that there's like, it's almost like a, it's like, I don't even know. Like, I don't even want to like totally get into it, but it's almost like a slightly conservative libertarian movement.
Yeah, and
Like
that's
it doesn't like land into that, like, you know, liberal, conservative, and all that crazy. We're almost like, you guys do your own thing. We're gonna grow our own food. And when you figure out that we're right, like
Right. And that I think, see, I wish that it was seen more that way, as like the whole libertarian way, but unfortunately it's mostly
we're
just seen
viewed
as
as right
like
wingers, yeah.
completely like way that way. Yeah, but I think down at the root of it, probably a lot of us are like, just leave me alone. Just stay away.
You know, I'm not gonna lie. Like, I grew up like agriculture hunting. Like, I'm definitely conservative, you know, and I'm not even shy about that. And I don't feel bad about it. And I shouldn't, you know, you shouldn't have to feel bad for the way you, but I do feel like I have to like almost defend myself sometimes because growing, my husband and I, before the whole COVID fiasco, we were very middle of the road conservatives. And now we feel like we had to like swing so far right in order to just protect what we believe in. Like, I guess, I don't
Preach,
know.
preach. Oh my
Okay.
gosh. Yeah, you are completely right.
There's definitely things we believed in that we don't believe in anymore because we've been told that, like, we've been put in a position where we can't. And then anytime you say like anything that's middle of the road, oh, you're a liberal, and you're like, no. Or then you say anything, oh, you're a Nazi, you know, like, no, not really. Like, I remember actually in tears at one point because one of my like dearest friends from school has mixed race kids, and she put it online that if you are conservative, you're a racist and you hate my children. And I was like crying over it because I know that like things are so split right now. But like, just because I believe in God and guns doesn't mean that I hate your children, you know?
Well, and she should know that too.
I think she does at this point. It was during the very like
Yeah, like the
height
really,
of
really pointed.
everything. She's actually, I think she's turned into a redneck hippie because she grows all her own food and is like a vegan and
There we go.
homeschools now. But it literally made me sad. What has happened in some of those cases?
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I mean, most days, we get home from work and we just kind of look at each other and are like, man, we really need to get even further away.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it is really, I don't know, it is frustrating. Because like when, I don't know, like how often do you like get out? And I'm saying that, I'm not asking that like rudely at all. I'm just wondering
No,
because
my husband and I both work from home, so our getting out a lot of times includes the grocery store in our town of like 10,000 people, and the only highway into our town has a giant sign that says you're entering Trump country, where we believe in God, guns, and the Badgers, which is our football team. So so no, I don't get out much, and when I do, it's usually to homestead and homeschool conferences. So
Yeah, so I mean, like we, because Dayton. So we're in Xenia, which is like just outside of Dayton, but really like it takes me like 20 minutes to drive to work, which is in Dayton anyways. So when I go to the grocery store, it's a lot more blue. And it's sometimes just very infuriating. And yeah, we just come home, we look at each other, and it's like, if we're gonna survive and yeah, to protect the things that we do believe in, like you have to work at it, unfortunately, too hard, it seems.
It is, and you know, it's hard because, yeah, we don't get out much and we don't work outside of the home and stuff, but like we know that this is going on, and like there's even times that we make ourselves go on like social media or news breaks because we get so frustrated. I mean, a lot of my job is social media, but I'll just kind of like I'll stay off my personal page and just be on my work page, which, you know, 90% of the people I follow are like-minded. So, but like, we, gosh, where were we? We were on one of our trips cross country, and we were in a big city, bigger city. I don't even remember where we were because it was more of a, let's see, it was, oh, we were in Indianapolis because it was the kid's birthday, my twin's birthday, and we were there for a conference. And the kids wanted cheesecake for after dinner. So we went to like a, I don't know, we took Texas Roadhouse for dinner. And the kids wanted a whole cheesecake to eat back at the room. So we're like, okay, let's just find a grocery store. And I look and there was a grocery store like two or three blocks up. So I was like, okay, cool, let's just go there. And I was like, I'm not getting out of the car though. I'm exhausted. I've been on my feet all day. I spoke twice. Like, you know, here's my debit card. Go get a cheesecake. And they went in and they're like texting me, like, Mom, we can't find the cheesecake. And I'm like, well, just ask somebody. They're like, we don't really feel comfortable. And I was like, what do you mean you don't feel comfortable asking somebody? Like, come on, you guys, You just spent the whole day at a conference talking to everybody, you know?
Right,
And so
right,
my
right.
husband's like, well, let me go in and see what's going on. And he went in, and basically the entire store was like pride flags and
Oh,
like
okay.
pride sayings on the floor. And it was like a Raley's or something. It wasn't even a like a small grocery store. And so my husband like helped them get a cake, and they like got to the register. And the lady was kind of like, I was surprised the kids were in here by themselves this late at night when this is a transgender neighborhood. And we were like, oh, like my husband's like, okay, kids, like paid for the cake. We got in the car and left, you know? And I mean, you know, to each their own, I suppose, you know, like but like, I would not think that on the outskirts of Indiana or Indianapolis, that I should have to worry about sending my 2 15-year-olds into a grocery store and late at night. It was, you know, 7 o'clock or something like that. And my kids were even like, they were like, there was like this man in like really big high heels and like dreads that went like down to their knees, and they were pink. And I was like, okay, yeah, like, okay, I understand why you didn't want to ask anyone for help now. But like my kids, who don't get out very often because they're homeschooled in a small community, that was very like, they didn't know how to handle themselves. But I mean, but it kind of almost goes back to like when you were saying like you grew up where you were actually like afraid of guns. And my kids, I mean, I don't know that you would compare being afraid of guns to being afraid of a man in a dress, but it's kind of that when you are raised a certain way and you're like so separated from the other, like this whole polarization that we're having in our country. Like, I think that there would be, I don't even want to like say there'd be more understanding. I think that we would have a better grasp on everything that's happening if we weren't so sheltered from what's happening outside of our
Outside of
whatever.
our little bubbles. I mean, I definitely grew up in a bubble. I went to Catholic school ever since I was, in kindergarten. Finished up Catholic high school. And so, yeah, you definitely grow up in a little bubble. And,
Right. Yeah.
then I
Growing up
went
in
to,
California, even rural California, I was definitely not in a bubble.
yeah. And I mean, gosh, going to the University of Cincinnati, it's very different. It's in the city, and I was exposed to a lot, but I'm just so glad that I was, I was just exposed to different people. To different ways of, thinking about things. And so I don't know, I guess I've always felt somewhat like a rebel. I know, like, I don't really like that word, the word rebel, because like I don't look like a stereotypical rebel, but like I also, okay, so I'm not a stereotypical rebel. I'm also not a stereotypical homesteader. I just, I'm not a stereotypical conservative. I just do what I want to do, and I think what I want to think. And I just really wish that more people would just think for themselves and make their own decisions. And, like what you like, don't like what you don't like. It's okay. And we can still be friends.
You know what somebody posted the other day, like, be a rebel, like grow your own food, live off the grid, whatever, you know? And I was like, I'm not rebelling. I'm freeing myself. Like, I'm liberating myself from all the constraints I had, like growing up and thoughts and stuff. So.
Yeah. And I think something that a lot of people don't understand about the homesteading movement too is it's just about creativity and like doing things with your hands. That's something that so many people don't appreciate. Because like my husband, he's in manufacturing, and so it's very, very hard to find skilled labor because nobody appreciates it. Nobody appreciates anything that you do with your hands. I mean, that's why it's impossible to find electricians or plumbers or, machine operators or whatever, chefs and servers. Like, it's impossible because nobody wants to do anything with their hands. But that is inherently tied to our creativity. And like, it's something that is being lost. And it's so sad.
Well, and you know, as
So sad.
a online business owner, I can tell you there's a lot of people out there that don't want to work with their brains either. So
That's true. Yes. Not thinking for yourself.
it's challenging. And you know, I think the homestead movement really, we're opting out of a lot of systems. And one of them is that kind of mindset that you just, that working with your hands isn't a valid job or a valid skill set. And that even like that a lot of our kids aren't going to college anymore. I mean, there's just a lot of differences that are happening. I think people are realizing there's other ways that they can learn. And even a lot of employers are asking for portfolios instead of resumes. And, even like our kids, like our 18-year-old, he's been an electrician's apprentice since he was 15. And that's what he does. And, for myself, I'm definitely creative. Obviously, like I've written books and that type of stuff. But like recently, I was like, I feel like drawing. And so for Christmas, my husband got me a sketch pad and sketch pencils and colored pencils. Just do what you want to do. And I've been like, I don't know, like my last book that I just wrote, I put, like, I drew my own, like, how to tie knots.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I designed my own
That's
how,
awesome.
I don't even know where it's at now, but like, I designed my own how to build a, sorry, I'm all making a mess because I'm just proud of like what I'm doing at this point, but. I designed this. Oh, I drew these too.
Oh, those are fantastic. The prints.
Yeah, and I designed my own base for a quail cage, but I don't know where that's at right now. But like I've just been drawing and drawing and drawing, and it feels so good. And I've never taken an art class or anything like that. It just feels good. And I think that, like you're saying, like a lot of homesteaders, they're home cooking, they're work, I mean, they're making bread with their hands, they're sewing, they're knitting, they're gardening. I mean,
Yeah,
they're,
creating.
yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you're making something out of nothing. An idea pops into your head and you do it, you know? 'Cause you have to be smart to be a homesteader. And
Yeah.
I mean, you do. You have to be a problem solver, creative thinker, and something that we all share.
It is absolutely the truth. So, we're kind of starting to get to the end of our time. So, and I think we've covered so many amazing topics
So
that
many things.
we really have, but I think it's a lot of those topics that, like I said, aren't being covered in a way like like I said, I think in this homestead movement, sometimes there's some stereotypes with that too. And sometimes I want to talk about blingy butt jeans, and everyone's just talking about their overalls. And, so I
Yeah,
think it.
I mean, that's what I talk about a lot on my podcast. I mean, like once a month, I have an episode that's just all about the things that I have enjoyed that month, whether it be like a new skincare thing or if it's like the tiller that I just bought, you know,
Right. And
that's
I think
all
it's
my
just,
favorite stuff.
yeah, like I said, I think it's just okay to acknowledge that. Homesteading, we don't fit into one box. We're a movement of people, and that there's, it's okay to still love the things that you loved before. Before.
Right before.
Before you crossed over. So my favorite question that I like to ask everybody at the end of my shows is, what does keep growing mean to you?
Gosh. Well, I think it means to keep learning. 'Cause, as homesteaders, we're like collectors of skills. I really wish that we could have like in Girl Scouts, like you would get your little badges.
I love it.
I really wish that there was like, I don't know, a vest or like stickers or things for your overalls, but like different badges. Because, like I'm proud of myself. And like that's another thing that I try to talk about on my podcast too, is just like celebrating all of the things that you achieve. Like New Year's is my favorite holiday. And then I like to also celebrate all of the things that I achieved in the year before. And like if you think about it, all of us homesteaders, we have so many things that we can do that like the average person is probably like looking at you sideways like what? Like you know how to, clean a chicken or, build a whatever. Like I think just keep growing is keep learning. Just learn all of the things.
I love that.
I love
So,
that.
do you want to tell everyone about what you have going on your website, what products you offer, and
Yeah. So I'm not super active on my website, but my website is thegirlyhomesteader.com. And if you go to thegirlyhomesteader.com/links, that's where you can get to all the things that I do. I'm very active on Instagram. And I actually created a homestead planner that has been
Love
evolving
it.
over the past few months. It's called the Grow and Flourish Planner, and it is a planner that is definitely in tune with the seasons for gardening specifically, but there's also some really introspective portions of it where you can kind of like get your goals for the year all figured out. There's like a guide to help you figure out your goals because, as I said, New Year's is my favorite holiday. So it
Right.
has to do with all of that in the garden. And actually, your listeners can get 15% off if they use the code CODY15 at checkout.
Love it. So that's
So,
KODY 15.
Yep.
Okay. And
Yeah.
I'll make sure I link all of this in the show notes.
Perfect. Thank you.
It has been wonderful chatting with you today and hope to talk again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thank you.
Did you enjoy today's episode? If so, please head over to your favorite podcast player and leave a comment and review. This helps me to know what you're enjoying and helps others find an episode that can help them. Thank you for joining me today at the Homestead Education, and I hope that I have given you something to think about this week. To help others find me, please comment and leave a review on your favorite podcast player. You can also follow me on Facebook at the Homestead Education and Instagram at homestead_education. Do you have questions that you would like answered or just want to say hi? Please email me at hello@thehomesteadeducation.com. Until next time, keep growing!